Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Senate Resource Committee. If I inadvertently call it the Judiciary Committee, please excuse me. Today is the 9th of March, and we have Senator Stevens, Ben Stevens, Senator myself, Senator Seekins, Senator Guest, Senator Elton with us this afternoon. And today we're taking a look at Senate Bill 113. We're going to depart from normal procedure in order to accommodate busy schedules for people. As we get into the public testimony, I may limit testimony to 2 to 3 minutes. I may ask people if they've already given us written testimony that they would forego lengthy oral testimony as well, because we have received a great deal of written testimony. And we may, as we go through the proceeding, as we see how many people would like to make themselves heard on the bill, shorten testimony as to whether they support, whether they don't support, or whether they have something additional that they want to add that hasn't already been covered in the public testimony. We're going to try to do that with the greatest respect towards public input, but also with the greatest respect for the time that we have allotted. So with that in mind, I understand we have Mr. Dersham online, and is he with us this afternoon? Mr. Dersham, this is Senator Seekins. Are you online with us, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
If you would put yourself on the record, sir, we're easy to hear your testimony. We're eager to hear your testimony on this.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Board of Fisheries has been working on Gulf Alaska groundfish revitalization for over a year and a half now through a working group and discussion in our meetings. This process was begun because of the federal rationalization issue that's been working its way through the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. But because of the increasing pace of our groundfish fisheries in many particular instances, such as Pacific cod and pollock, we would probably be in a similar discussion even if it weren't for the federal rationalization, because many of our fisheries, groundfish fisheries, have become a race for fish. And through that work of that task force, we went through a long discussion of our authority and lack of authority, and we came to the conclusion that it would be very difficult for us to address a comprehensive solution that would be best for the state of Alaska without some additional authority for us and the CFEC to consider these things. And we fleshed out the bare bones of a dedicated access privilege solution to a partial solution to these things, along with an open to entry portion. And we think that bare bones idea, if enabled by this legislation, which is process legislation, not programmatic, it's meant to create the ability for the CFEC and the Board of Fish to use this additional authority as a process, and then flesh out a complete solution that would address what we think would be best for the participants, the Alaska residents, and the coastal communities. So we're kind of excited about the possibilities of this legislation as far as the details of who would be the winners and losers, and that will all come later if we are able to use this legislation. But in addition, we've also been in discussion with the CFEC about a memorandum of understanding to flesh out the in cooperation part of this legislation, and we believe that the result of that will be a memorandum of understanding that we will be able to get into the legislative record before this bill is voted on, that will create a joint public process for much of this work by both the CFEC and the Board of Fish, which is kind of a new idea, and I think would have many benefits for the public process and the input of stakeholders and other interested parties. And I'll just kind of stop there for now, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Dersham. Are there questions for Mr. Dersham from members of the committee? Seeing none at this time, Mr. Dersham, I'm sure you'll be open. This is just the first of many hearings on this bill, so I'm sure that you'll be called upon again to provide your comments as we go forward. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Senator Stevens.
Yes, sir.
I understand you're next on the schedule.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for the opportunity to present the bill to the committee and actually to use this time to clear up some of the misconceptions about the bill. If we recall, the bill was introduced, originally the concept of this bill was introduced last year, and it came about from a request from a joint request from the Board of Fish, Department of Fish and Game, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, and the Commercial Fisheries Limited Entry Commission to try to remedy what they perceive to be a problem arising as a result of federal action in federal waters. And so they came to me and asked me if I would introduce this bill again this year. We passed an effort last year out of this body, and it ran out of time on the other side. And it's my understanding, it's my opinion, that now the urgency of this legislation has increased because the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council is primed to act on their fisheries management plan, which surround the Gulf of Alaska fisheries. When the group came to me and asked me to do it, I said that there's one prerogative that I have, and that is to protect the rights of the Alaska fishermen in Alaska waters. And I asked them, and you can ask the questions of the managers when they come, and that question we should ask them is will this action help the fishermen in Alaska waters from adverse or unintended consequences of the implementation of the federal fisheries management plan? In other words, the question is if we don't act, what happens? And they came to me with compelling argument to the point that it's time that we have to act or we face negative consequences for our fishermen. And that's the reason why this bill is introduced. The people in the audience that have been working on it for quite some time understand that that's been my position the whole time, and that's why we have it. The bill allows the Board of Fish and the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission to develop a plan for designated access privilege, and then that will be brought to the general public for review and for open comment, and it just gives them the right to do it. I think that maybe I'll reserve any further comment because I know there's lots of people that want to testify for the bill. From the comments that I've seen come in, I just hope that people that testify for the bill, against the bill, will understand you need to understand the reasoning behind the bill and to understand what the bill allows the departments to do and allows the fisheries managers to do to meet their objective as fisheries managers. And those objectives are pretty well stated on page 4, which is sound fishery management, resource conservation, protect the economic health of the ground of the fisheries, have enforceable allocations, promote the safety of the participants, and then number 8 was adopt other important goals as identified by the commission. But we're creating a tool for the fisheries managers to use if they see fit to use it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions for Senator Stevens? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Senator Stevens. We'll go next to Sue Asplund. Sue, welcome to the Resources Committee.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Sue Asplund. I'm with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. First, I'm going to briefly touch on the discussion points that are on the first page of your discussion packet from the Department of Fish and Game. As you're likely well aware, the Gulf of Alaska groundfish fisheries are comprised of a diverse group of users, vessels, gears, and species in canned areas around the Gulf of Alaska. The fisheries currently are managed under open access, which is a raise for fish condition that does not provide for maximization of the economic value of the fisheries to fishermen, to processors, to the coastal communities dependent on them, or to the state, nor for addressing fisheries management issues such as bycatch reduction, habitat protection, localized depletion, or the safety of fisheries participants. Over time, because of the race for fish, fishermen have become more efficient at harvesting, and therefore seasons are compressed in time and sometimes in area, exacerbating the concerns that were previously described. Additionally, as Senator Stevens mentioned, planned rationalization of the federal Gulf of Alaska groundfish fisheries has the potential to further aggravate all of the problems already inherent in this race for fish. While Alaska's current limited entry program satisfactorily addresses fisheries and social issues in many of Alaska's fisheries, it may not best serve all of Alaska's diverse groundfish fisheries, given the demands of today's global marketplace for consistent supply, quality, and market and product diversity. SB 113 provides authorities to the Board of Fish and CFEC that allow them to explore innovative Gulf of Alaska groundfish fisheries allocation and management strategies that can find solutions to the changing global marketplace and that will benefit the resource users, and the communities that depend upon them. One size won't fit all in addressing the needs of these diverse fisheries, and therefore, SB 113 has been purposefully written to provide for maximum flexibility without predetermining any programmatic outcome. It's intended that program development for each Gulf groundfish fishery will be developed in the transparent Board of Fish and CFEC public processes and not within this legislation. And I'd like to stress again what Board Chairman Dersham said, that this is process legislation and not programmatic. The points that I'm going to go through now address some of the concerns that we've heard expressed by the public. SB 113 actually expands the public process undertaken for consideration of a fisheries limitation. Previously, only CFEC would undertake that evaluation, and SB 113 adds the Board of Fish and its public processes into the process normally undertaken only by CFEC. And I'm sure that CFEC can elaborate further on what that process is. A dedicated access privilege is not an ownership model. Rather, as the name describes, it's a privilege utilized to access the state's Gulf groundfish fisheries. Providing for entry-level access for fisheries is a state priority, and Chairman Dersham mentioned that in his testimony as well. The committee has already been discussing what that might look like. While it might technically be true that for biological circumstances, limited entry generally has worked well in Alaska, it's certainly a step in the right direction from open access to control the growth in the number of participants. However, it does not prevent overcapitalization and the race for fish. In a limited entry system, each individual still has the incentive to develop new methods that allow them to catch more fish and to do so faster than other fishermen before any overall limit is reached that will close the fishery. Limited entry elevates harvesting the most fish in the least amount of time to the top of most fishermen's priority list, which often supersedes safety, quality, and bycatch and habitat issues. While we're trying to be proactive with the groundfish fisheries, some would argue that we've already seen significant negative effects from overcapitalization in the race for fish, such as low product values, short seasons, loss of resident processing workers in our coastal communities, safety issues, etc. However, at this point, we don't see any urgent resource conservation concerns in the fisheries, although local managers are concerned about localized depletion associated with the current fisheries. An example of the compression that we've seen as a result of the race for fish is that the Kodiak Statewater Pecod Fishery for pot gear was open for approximately 10 months of the year in 2000 and 2001. In 2002, that dropped to about 7 months. In 2003, it was down to 1 month. And in 2004, the fishery lasted about 16 days. Jig seasons have also gotten shorter. And it seems clear that even if effort is not increasing significantly, fishermen are finding ways to catch the fish a lot faster. Limited entry is not a tool that can control this trend of shorter seasons because it doesn't address the race for fish. protracted seasons would likely provide stability and help harvesters, processors, and communities economically, particularly if they can extract more value from the fish due to higher quality. And in closing, I would just like to call folks' attention to the Board of Fisheries Gulf of Alaska Ground Fish Management, or Ground Fish Fisheries and Rationalization Committee meeting notes that are posted on Fish and Game's website. They provide documentation of the evolution that the Gulf Ground Fish Committee has gone through in their deliberations, and folks will find those really interesting, and I think we'll find some comfort in terms of where the discussions are going relative to the program that comes after the legislation. Thank you.
Questions from Ms. Asplund?
I'm sorry, so could you repeat that, where that information is?
It's on our website under Board Support. If you go to the Board Support, Board of Fish homepage, there's a link way down in the bottom left-hand corner that has all of the Gulf Ground Fish Committee.
Department of Fish and Game, Board Support.
Board of Fisheries.
Board of Fisheries.
And then just down
in the lower corner. Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Asplund. Just for clarification, next would be Bruce Toomley and Frank Holman. I understand you're going to be testifying together, is that correct? Or one at a time? Just for clarification for those that are going to participate in the process, so far Ms. Asplund, Mr. Toomley, Mr. Holman are all considered by the committee chair to be part of the presentation by the sponsor, by the bill's sponsor, and it's not public testimony by individuals at this point. So that's why I may give them a little more time than we would under the public comment for clarification. Thank you. If you put yourself on the record, sir, we're eager to hear your testimony this morning, this afternoon.
I'm Bruce Fondley, chairman of the Limited Entry Commission, and of course we're here to support this bill. As the President Senator has stated, the bill provides a new tool, a new limited access tool. If you're going to address a fishery that's limited by quota, you really need a dedicated access privilege to be able to control the effort. It's a way of assigning a share in that quota so that people don't overfish their individual share, and it can be based on past historic catch. It's a new development. It's a tool the state hasn't had, and we know from our experience in limiting quota fisheries that the state's license limitation program simply doesn't work. I mean, I can give you examples if people care about that, but it has not been an effective tool. Now, the bill, of course, is limited strictly to the Gulf of Alaska fisheries. The legislation doesn't require the state to pick up this new tool and use it. In order to actually employ this tool, a great deal of analysis and research is going to have to go forward. There's going to have to be a great deal of cooperation between the Board of Fish and the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. When and if that produces a proposal for this fishery, there is going to be extensive public comment. I mean, anything that comes out of the cooperation between the Board, Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, is going to call for an extensive public comment period. One thing we contemplate is joint hearings between the Board of Fish and the Limited Entry Commission, which may help serve the convenience of the public and help them to get their views before the decision-making bodies. And of course, the way this is constructed, I mean, dedicated access privileges with the emphasis on privileges are like other limited access privileges administered by the state, in that the state reserves the power to either revoke or modify these privileges at any point, and that's without compensation. And so merely acting on this doesn't lock the state for all time into a particular system. The state always has the power to modify the system. And I mention that just to indicate the opportunities there will be for the public to influence this. There will be extensive joint hearings. There will be extensive public comment periods. And then even if the end result is unsatisfactory to citizens, there is always an opportunity to take those issues to the legislature. So the public and affected fishermen have many opportunities to influence the process, many opportunities to be heard. The aspect of Alaska law that governs limited access is our Constitution. and there's some very precise constitutional provisions that really limit what the state can do in the way of limited access. You can only defend a limited access system that's designed to prevent economic distress among fishermen, and only if it serves conservation, and according to the Alaska Supreme Court, only if it impinges as little as possible on the open-to-entry provisions of the Constitution. And so you have to operate within this framework, which doesn't apply to the federal limited fisheries. But, I mean, the point of that is the court has said in its cases that including more people is better than including fewer people. So that's really the standard one has to employ in implementing limited access. I think that a dedicated access privilege better serves that standard than our traditional license limitation program. If you think about a license limitation program, we have to tie everything to the existing number of units of gear in the fishery. And then among all the applicants, which often number much more than the existing number of units of gear, we've got to rank all of those fishermen against one another and award permits to those who need them the most. But you end up reaching a point where you award a permit to one individual, and then an individual who's 1 point away does not get the permit. That's kind of a tough cut to have to make. And then, of course, everybody below that doesn't get to participate in the fishery except by means of transfer in the future. But the point of a dedicated access privilege is it can be much more inclusive because you have the opportunity to bring everybody who's currently participating in the fishery, everybody who can demonstrate a reliance on the fishery, into the fishery at their own level of participation. And by being more inclusive, you can better satisfy the constitutional provision that really suggests that more is better than fewer. And so with those elements in mind, I would urge passage of this legislation.
Any questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Tomlin. Mr. Holman.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that he's covered the
bases. No, does Senator Stevens, is that you've lined up?
Senator, that's correct, yes, thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions at this point from the sponsors, for the sponsor, or from the committee? Seeing none, we'll begin public testimony. I have quite a number of people online that have signed up to testify, and I'm going to try to limit testimony to 3 minutes. We'll start with the folks that are on in Juneau, and I think we have Beth Stewart is first. Beth?
I'm not testifying.
Not testifying? Oh, okay. The end looked almost like a Y, so I'm sorry. Mike Milligan.
Mr. Chairman, I was in Kodiak last week, and many of the people there are fishing, currently fishing, and I can wait. Many of them cannot.
Okay.
I'll testify later.
That gives my Juneau list that I have for sign up. The next list I have will start in the area of Kodiak. I noticed that some have already given some written testimony and some have not, but I'm going to start working down the list. I know this is the first of many public hearings that we'll have on this bill, so let's start with Alexis Quatcha. Quatchka, I think. I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
So, good afternoon, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
My name is Alexis Quatchka. I've been fishing out of Kodiak for 18 years, 15 of which are on the same boat. Part of this is from my written testimony, but what I'd like to say is I've been running this boat for all the qualifying years that will be used in the federal program and all of the qualifying years that could be used in the state program. One of the biggest things that I see about SB 113 is that it gives the possibility of using the history and issuing it to a vessel instead of the operator of the vessel. Now, I'm really concerned with setting this precedent. I don't think the road should go down an unequal access road. We have never agreed on unequal access rights at all on anything. We've lost our subsistence rights over this in the federal program. DAP leads to consolidation, which equals loss of jobs for working Alaskan fishermen. The jobs are the driving economic force of coastal Alaskan communities. We can look at coastal Alaskan villages as an example of what happens when you lose jobs. Chicmec. Chicmec has just gone through a co-op model for their salmon. It's allowed absentee ownership. The people that have the right to the resource don't even have to be there to have the resource harvested. What you can see is that one store has gone out of business, one cannery has gone out of business, and a 200% increase in crime in the first year. DAP, I mean, it sounds really good if you're talking about spreading this all out and everybody, but what you're doing is you're dividing the pie. And when you divide the pie, that means the long-term participants, i.e. their history, is going to be divided by everybody who wants a piece of it. So really what you're going to end up doing is marginalizing a lot of the guys in it that have a lot of parallel fish at stake. And then if they can't own it, or the state holds the right to it, then what you've done is you further marginalize them because it won't be a collateral right like a federal IFQ is. And so then they can't even borrow to buy more of a federal or whichever. So, I mean, there's all these dynamics that play in here, and I could go on for hours, and I won't. Local fishermen here rely on multifaceted fisheries. They need to be able to fish salmon. They need to be able to fish cod. They need to be able to fish crab. And by limiting options, you really start taking away the viability of the small boat fishermen. We're just trying to mirror the federal program to take care of the federal fishers and how much fish they have in the parallel fisheries. I'll kind of end it there and see if you have any questions. One more concern, though. I'm really concerned about who's supporting this. UFA, I have to question the support of that. We just saw the trollers drop out of them. I don't think they're representing a broad base of Alaskan fishermen, so I'm really concerned about that. We have to get this right. No matter what you guys do, we have to take care of Alaskan fishermen.
Any questions, sir? Mr. Kwatska? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony today, sir. We'll go next to Chuck Thompson in Kodiak. Mr. Thompson, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
If you'll put your name on the record for us, we're eager to hear your testimony, sir.
My name is Chuck Thompson. I've been a commercial fisherman for 30 years and a vessel owner for 25. I'm the president of Kodiak Area Divers Marketing Association, and I'm on the board of directors of the Alaska Jig Association. I will start off with a statement from the Alaska Jig Association. The Alaska Jig Association is opposed to Senate Bill 113. We feel that this bill is far too broad and unspecific. This is the most dramatic legislation proposed since the inception of salmon limited entry. In this bill, there are too many undefined powers without guidelines handed the Alaska Board of Fisheries or the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. Since there has been no public testimony from the coastal communities that would be affected by this bill, public hearings are necessary. The management tools are available at this time to prosecute these fisheries in a safe and timely manner, and we feel that any action along these lines would be unjust and unacceptable for the fishermen that participate in these fisheries and the coastal communities that would be affected. And I keep hearing the statement, race for fish. Speaking for the Alaska Jig Association, there is no such animal. Do not have the size vessel to have a race for fish. It's just not an entity that we deal with. Now I'm going to take off those hats, and I'm going to put on the hats as husband and father and resident of the state of Alaska. For continued economic stability and continuity in our coastal communities, there has to be entry-level fisheries. One of the original concepts of the state water fisheries was just that. The changing times and the Gulf rationalization train rolling down on us, state needs to make adjustments. The Board of Fish and the CFEC are presently severely restricted in any action they might be able to take to meet today's problems. The management tools necessary to continue with a stable state water fishery and mesh with the federal fishery with Gulf rationalization need to be issued. Limited entry is written as a reactionary tool.
only enforced after overcapitalization and economic stress are firmly in place. With restructuring of limited entry so that it is a proactive force, the agencies already in place would be able to design a state water fishery concept that would leave the equity of the fishery in the participants' control and still remain an entry-level fishery. I don't believe in redesigning the wheel, by which I mean dedicated access and all the baggage that comes with it. I don't believe in personal ownership of the ocean. In a limited entry issue, you're looking at participants that gain equity and stability in the coastal communities of Alaska. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Is there any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Thompson? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony today, sir. We'll move next to Steve, is it Drag?
Draghi.
Draghi. Steve, welcome to... if you'll put yourself name on the record, we're eager to hear your testimony, sir.
My name is Steve Draghi, and I'm Vice President of Alaska Draggers Association, which represents approximately 30 trawl vessels that fish out of Kodiak. The Alaska Draggers Association supports SB 113. Presently, the Governor, the Board of Fish Rationalization Task Force, Board of Fish, NPFMC, and United Fishermen of Alaska all support SB 113. For today's hearing, it is important to note that many of the industry members who are in favor of this bill are unable to testify today due to scheduling conflicts. We have a fishery that's supposed to start tomorrow. Regarding state jurisdiction, a substantial amount of both Pacific cod and pollock has been caught inside 3 miles in the federal fisheries, otherwise known as the parallel fishery. Even though the vessels thought that they were operating in a federal fishery, having all the appropriate licenses and follow all the federal fishery regulations, it turns out the state of Alaska has jurisdiction over this catch. SB 113 will allow the state to maintain authority over the inside 3 mile catch and allow these fishers to have somewhat equal treatment when compared to potential fishing privileges in the federal program. Otherwise, they would be dropped out of the loop, since both would receive fishing privileges based on catch history. 113 also allows for a coordinated fishery management approach for stocks that are migratory across the 3 mile jurisdictional lines, such as management, data cost, enforcement, observer, bycatch, and incidental catch. If no action is taken by the state must take action to protect the fishery resource and Alaskan fishers. Otherwise, it put at risk inside 3 mile fishers with excessive effort by new fishers joining in the fray of open access fisheries. It must respond to groundfish rationalization of the federal groundfish fisheries. With state taking action with SB 113, the state of Alaska has the ability to drive the outcome in the federal process. What Senate Bill 113 does not do, the way we understand it does not provide processor designated access privileges or processor quota shares for the Gulf. It does not set a precedent for processor quota shares in GOA groundfish, salmon, or any other state fisheries. It does not predetermine which, if any, species, areas, or gear types might have a DAD program developed. And it does not predetermine the recipients of a DAP program. What we think it does, our understanding, is it does grant sufficient statutory authority to the Alaska Board of Fisheries and the CFEC to adequately address fisheries development plans for the Gulf of Alaska groundfish species. It does clearly define the respective roles of the Board of Fish and the CIBC in developing dedicated access privilege programs. It does provide ample opportunities for the public to participate and develop any of the DAP programs.
Sir,
my time is up.
Yes, did you submit your testimony to us in written form as well?
No, I did not.
If you could do that, sir, I think we would greatly appreciate it in the committee.
Okay.
Since you're representing an association, I'm going to give you an extra minute. Okay, go ahead.
Wind experiences big difficulty in the Prince William Sound pollock fishery. It is managed by the state, and it's presently a runaway, unmanageable fishery. This year, the excessive capacity, hold capacity was 170% of the entire quota. It's unmanageable, according to Bob Rastelli, who's managing the program out of Cordova. And this DAP fishery approach would really work great on a situation over there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Now, if you will have the LIO office there fax your written testimony to 465-4779, the Chairman Wagner's office will receive it and distribute it to the rest of the members of the committee. So it's 465-4799, and they'll do that for you out of the LIO.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we have Julie Cavanaugh. Julie, are you with us this afternoon?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
If you'll put your name on the record for us, we're eager to hear your testimony.
Yes, good afternoon, Chairman Speakins. I'd like to also acknowledge Senator Ben Stevens and our senator from Kodiak, Gary Stevens, and the members of the Resource Committee. My name is Julie Cavanaugh. I'm representing my husband, my four children, and myself. I am a coastal Alaskan girl raised up in the gateway city of our great state, Ketchikan. For the last 22 years, I have resided in Kodiak. I would like to preface my statement with saying that I have the greatest respect for the public process, but I would point out that today it is obvious that this forum is insufficient for the process to be served. The Constitution of the State of Alaska guarantees equal access. So if you can't go around it, and you can't go over it, and you can't go under it, then you may as well pull on your tallest pair of extra tufts and plow right through it. Senate Bill 113 is about the Constitution of the State of Alaska. It is about unequal access. Senate Bill 113 is about history-based allocation. It is about access rights belonging to those other than individuals. How can we get comfortable with that? State of Alaska could not address unequal access with regards to subsistence. So how then can it be addressed and solved for commercial fishing? He may or may not use the DAP program for salmonoids, herringoids, halibutoids, but we should and must consider other, but should we also consider other public resources? Is this the path that we want to travel down? Are we looking at solutions from a nearsighted perspective? I am a concerned parallel fisherman, and I say we are. Have a huge history in the parallel fishery, and I do not want to go down this path. I do not believe Senate Bill 113 meets the least impingement clause of the Constitution. I believe it circumvents it. I don't believe that there is any amendment or change that can be made to Senate Bill 113 that would make it stand up to the muster. Senate Bill 113 is fatally flawed in that it attacks the Equal Access Clause of the Constitution. Would like to note that as I appreciate the public process and all that it entails, the process itself is cumbersome, and it is not likely that the constituents here today will be able to participate fully at the Board of Fish level. The people that are talking today are giving up a day's wages to talk to you, Mr. Seekins. This legislation needs to be handled with concern. I stress again that there is overwhelming need and desire to have regional coastal community hearings relating to Senate Bill 113. The urgency to pass this bill does not reflect the concern for resident Alaska fishermen. It addresses the problems of only a specific group within the industry. I would also like everybody to refer to the Board of Fish's subcommittee minutes of July 04, where it was predetermined that they could not allocate to anything other than an individual, and immediately after those statements, the DAP program was developed. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And I understand you've already submitted this written testimony. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Julie. Next, we have on our list Tim Gossett. Tim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And Tim, if you'll put your name on the record for us, we're eager to hear your testimony this afternoon, too.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Tim Gossett. I started commercial fishing in 1971 at the age of 16. I have lived in Alaska since 1978. I came up as a deckhand and started running my own boat in 1987. For the past 8 years, I have been using my 1,600-ton license to work on freezer longliners in the Barrow Sea in the wintertime to help make ends meet. I also currently own a 42-foot seine boat, which my son and I fish each summer.
I think I make a different view than most. It seems that a lot of us small boat fishermen fish salmon in the summertime somewhere in the state. The demise of the salmon fishery in Alaska is well documented. I view cod fishing as a way to help supplement my salmon operation. I have also waited for my son to come of age and fish with me. He is 17 now, and the times we have spent together on the water are priceless to both of us. Global rationalization has taken away opportunity for us, unless, of course, you have the capital to buy in. And now our waters within 3 miles are threatened with SB-113. I am afraid of SB-113. My interpretation is that it gives the Board of Fish, or CFEC, too much power to pick and choose who receives fish allocations. Although I must say that its true intention is much too ambiguous. To me, it is no coincidence that the driving forces behind this state bill are generally the same as those who backed the federal Gulf Plan. I would like the same opportunity that drew me into commercial fishing in the first place, the opportunity to compete with my fellow fishermen and sell or market my fish to whom I choose. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. And I don't believe you've submitted your testimony to us yet, have you?
No, sir.
If you could have them fax it to us, and let me give that number again, 465-4779. I may have said it incorrectly the second time last time. 465-4779. Thank you. Next is Lorne White. Mr. White.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Lorne White. I'm a small businessman from Kodiak. Addressing Senate Bill 113, that seems to be an instrument needed to line up the state policy for federal change to our fisheries from open entry into closed class. We know the rationalization of state waters fishery is illegal under our state constitution. Ben Stevens' bill is amazingly simple and mostly true. However, it is radical and contrary to the spirit and the intent of the state constitution and the limited entry method. The truth, however, is that jobs and money will be lost with the new efficiency. It will mean fewer jobs and the export of money to other states, as we have seen with halibut and black cod. The DAP privilege will probably migrate and become an ownership issue in time. Like the limited entry amendment, this should not be passed as a bill that needs to be voted on by the people of the state of Alaska. Anything else is highly unethical, if not illegal, as it goes against the spirit and the intent of the state constitution. I do not support Senate Bill 113. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. And if you also could ask the LIO to fax this to the chairman's office, we'd appreciate that as well. Thank you very much for your testimony. Steve, I think is it Matthew?
Yes, it is, Matthew.
And so, Steve, if you'll put your name on the record for us, we're also eager to hear your testimony this afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Steve Matthew. I've been a voting resident of Kodiak, Alaska for 27 years and a member of the fishing community for 28 years. We object strongly to Senate Bill 113 introduced by Senator Stevens. Although it's a questionable purpose, it seems to be vague enough to give an incredible power of fish allotment to the hands in the hands of the four people that vote the majority in the House of Board of Fish. And therefore they would control the destiny of most coastal communities in the state of Alaska, fishing communities anyhow. I can't go along with this. I don't know the Board of Fish or their interests. And I'm not sure exactly how I want the fisheries that I'm involved in governed yet. But I would like to be considered and consulted in a forum so that I can make a responsible decision. I have to object to Senate Bill 113 until I know exactly what's planned for the fisheries that I'm involved in and how it affects the communities that I live and work in. I know that there are fishing associations that need to know more, since there is talk of a cooperative format that has guidelines to a co-op association and marketing. And there is the rumors of some kind of intangible form of IFQ or limited entry, but I can't agree with that. There are many people in related businesses in all these coastal communities that may also be affected, including myself. So I'll have questions regarding this at public hearings, for sure. And of course, the community residents need to be informed a lot better than they have been, because this could affect property taxes and and therefore allocations to local educational systems and stuff like that. But as president of the Alaska Jig Association, a group of 15 fishers, and 90% of these are Alaskan residents, we unanimously voted to object to Senate Bill 113 until we have public hearing and participation in the formation of a new state program. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. And my notes indicate that you already have submitted written testimony. Is that correct?
Yes, I have.
Thank you very much. Donald Lawhead, Jr. Mr. Lawhead, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
And if you'll put your name on the record, sir, we're eager to hear your testimony this afternoon as well.
Hello, my name is Donald Lawhead, Jr. I'm married with a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. I've been fishing Alaska for 14 years and am the main source of income for my family. This includes cod, crab, halibut, and staple fish and salmon. I own 2 boats, one for Kodiak and one for Bristol Bay. Senate Bill 113 will ultimately affect everyone, including myself and my family. The state constitution prohibits granting special rights and special privileges by fishery in the national waters of the state. This means equal access, and everyone should have the right to take fisheries. The state has the ability to have a limited entry system for its fisheries for conservation and economic dependent fishermen. This has worked for more than 30 years. Everyone understands it and can trust what it represents. Senate Bill 113 wants to create DAPs, or dedicated access privileges, to individuals and associations. This is IFQs, or individual fishing quotas. This is unequal access and shouldn't be passed. This is bad for the coastal communities of Alaska. You will put the power of the fisheries to a select few, resulting in less jobs and less processing jobs and fishing jobs for the community. Consolidation looks good for big business, but Alaska communities aren't big businesses. We are a bunch of small businessmen who must fish all fisheries to stay afloat. Senate Bill 113 is too broad and gives too much power to the Board of Fish and CFEC to create anything they want. The big boats and companies out of state will reap the benefits. The federal program and state will almost mirror each other. I'm worried if this passes, this will create a chain reaction for all state fisheries and resources, including salmon, herring, game, subsistence, anything you want. Everything will change. This is the biggest change since limited entry for the fisheries. We need hearings in all the communities of Alaska. Everyone has to be heard. The pie will be divided. No one will receive enough to survive out of this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lyon. Now, I indicate also that you have already submitted written testimony. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, I have.
Thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. Tim Tripp from Kodiak. Tim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
If you'll put your name on the record, sir, we're eager to hear your testimony.
Yeah, my name is Tim Tripp. I'm a newcomer here. I've been in Kodiak for 12 years now. I've been in the state water jig fishery and the barrel fishery now for 6 years. I'm here to ask you to prevent the passage of SB 113. I feel the Board of Fish has the tools already to rationalize the state water fisheries. And I don't see any justification for giving the Board of Fish or CFEC more power than they already have. I've already given a written testimony, so I'm going to be short here. Everybody's pretty well said what I think already. So I'd like to say that you shouldn't pass it, and thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, and thank you for your written testimony as well. We'll move next to Peter Thompson in Kodiak. Mr. Thompson, are you with us this afternoon?
Yes, I am.
And if you'll put your name on the record for us, sir, we'll hear your testimony as well today.
Okay, thank you. My name is Peter Thompson, and I'm a small boat owner-operator that's fished out of Kodiak for 25 years. I'll keep this short. There's a room full of Kodiak locals here that like to testify. But I'd like to tell you I am opposed to SB 113 as it is written. I feel that more time is needed for the coastal communities and the fishermen that are going to be affected to weigh in on the matter. Although I realize the federal process at the council level is moving forward, this bill is too broad and there are too many undefined powers handed to the Alaska Board of Fish and CFEC. I would urge you to have more public hearings for the coastal communities and the fishermen that would be affected by the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. And if you have written form, we'd like it to also be submitted to Chairman Wagner's office through the LIO. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's move on next to Frank Miles. Frank, Mr. Miles, are you with us this afternoon?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Frank Miles, David Kubiak, and Tom Lawrence have changed their minds, so Donna Jones would be next.
Donna Jones will be next. Ms. Jones, are you with us this afternoon?
Yes, I am. Good day to everyone there. Again, my name is Donna Jones, and I simply, as a concerned citizen, my greatest concern is for that of our community at this time, its future constituents, that being our children and our children's children. I am against Senate Bill 113 for many reasons. I do not support any bill or resolution that allows the Board of Fish's ability to take control over state legislators' decisions in regards to the allocation of our fishing rights within state waters. It is unconstitutional for any board to have jurisdiction to bypass our legislative process in regards to any issue regarding our basic rights. In this case, our rights over our state waters and the equal access that we are guaranteed according to our state constitution. To try and allocate our state water fisheries is ultimately stealing the food right out of the mouth of our children. We would be pilfering their future to satisfy a very select group. I do not agree or support with the concept of creating a dedicated access privilege. This particular subject of allocating our state waters is being fueled out of the concern for the issues at the federal level in regards to the parallel fisheries. The concern is for the boats that fish in both the federal and state waters during the federal fishery. It seems quite clear that although some of the fish were caught within state waters, it was a federal fishery with federally allocated quota, and these vessels should be given the full allocations through the federal program, at which point the state could decide whether they will continue to open the state waters or whether to have those boats fish the full allocation in federal waters. This specific issue should not encourage our state to feel pressured into an allocation system that is not supported by the public and is against the state's best interest. One of my greatest concerns in the Senate Bill 113 is that it advocates the privatization of our public resources. These state fishing rights should be left open to be fished by all residents. I believe that the pressure incurred to federal Gulf rationalization has forced our state to feel that they must follow or they will be at a loss. We must slow down this process long enough to inform the public, analyze, and consider the many concerns that we all have. Ultimately, I feel that if the Board of Fish feels that they need to create a program to better suit the fishermen within the state, they should go directly to the fishermen. Work with them in the community to build a plan that would be suitable. And at that point, the Board of Fish could take this plan to our legislators for support and approval. Under no circumstances should we bypass our legislative process. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you have not already submitted that testimony, I don't think that you have. If you would also ask the LIO there to fax it to Chairman Wagner's office, we would appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Next, I have Teresa Peterson. Are you there?
Yes, hello. Good afternoon, Chairman Segan and members of the Senate Resource Committee. My name is Teresa Peterson, and my husband and I are commercial fishermen and own a fishing vessel. We participate in crab, herring, salmon, halibut, and groundfish around Kodiak Island, and have done so for the last 18 years. Groundfish has become increasingly more important to our livelihood over the last 2 years, and this is true for a number of independent fishing families. In fact, the volume and value of groundfish in Kodiak has been at a steady increase and is expected to continue to do so, according to the Chamber of Commerce. Kodiak's economy is stable, and a willingness to invest in the community is illustrated by the boom of construction. With the existing fisheries management, this town is thriving. As I heard a 17-year-old say last night, it's all the little people that keep this town running. Without them, we'd just be a poor fishing town with a few rich people. See, the little guys, without a lot of history, cannot afford to lose access to the groundfish. This bill, as written, is so vague, it's impossible to predict how this will impact stakeholders. There are far too many unanswered questions. We do not want to allow the Board of Fish to allocate directly to associations with virtually no guidelines. We do not support this bill until the state has the management tools in hand to address concerns brought on with gulf rationalization. We do need regional hearings on this. This is huge. This entire office is packed with fishermen that harbor grave, grave concerns, and we appreciate your time in hearing them. Thank you.
Thank you much, Ms. Peterson. Have you forwarded your written testimony?
No, I have not, but I'll be happy to do so.
Thank you very much. We'd appreciate that. Leonard Carpenter is next. Mr. Carpenter, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Chairman Seekins. My name is Leonard Carpenter, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak today about Senate Bill 113. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my family. My wife, Anita, son, Matthew, and I own and operate the 36-foot fish tail. We have long-lined and jibs for cod and rockfish since 1999 during both federal parallel and state seasons. Of it inside 3 miles. I started commercial fishing in 1988 in the halibut and sable fish program, and since then we bought our own boat to fish that way. We are adamantly opposed to Senate Bill 113 because it gives the Board of Fish and CFEC such broad and extensive powers. It is so vague and lacking of substance that creating a fishery around it is like signing a land contract and filling in the terms and conditions later. Feel that the Board of Fish and CFEC have adequate tools to effectively manage our ground fish stocks in the Gulf of Alaska, and until they are thoroughly investigated and debated through the public process, it would be premature to lend support to it. Let's explore our options first, ones that would guarantee our future and our children with a permit or license that is permanent and has value as opposed to a DAP, a privilege that could be taken away. I don't understand the state's position that we need to match as closely as possible our management of the Gulf with the federal rationalization plan. In the past, our state fought against ISQs for the small independent fishermen, the people that build and help keep coastal communities in Alaska alive and healthy. So I embrace a DAP that is strikingly similar to an ISQ. A quota or privilege that most likely could not be bought or sold, either transferred, and therefore has no market value. As independent fishermen, we need flexibility and security in the Gulf ground fish fishery to ensure our future survival and our children's future, the next generation of fishermen and fisherwomen. In closing, we need to move slowly and carefully on this issue because too much is at stake for Alaska and its coastal communities. We have to get it right the first time. We need to keep the control of the fishery in the hands of the people and not in the hands of CFEC and Board of Fish, who can change the rules and rights as the political climate or their will changes. Please feel free to call or email us with questions or comments, and please keep our community engaged and informed in this process and schedule as many regional hearings as possible because it is very important to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. Have you forwarded your written testimony at this time?
No, sir, but I will.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a 5-minute recess. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. I'll call the committee back to order. We're still working with the folks in Kodiak, and so next on my list from Kodiak is Ludger Doctorman. Mr. Doctorman, are you there?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Lutka Doctorman. I am a survivor of 32 winters in the Bering Sea and around Kodiak. And I was one of the people that was instrumental in working towards the state water fishery. We decided that we saw the rationalization, or what is going to happen now is the rationalization coming down the pike. So the fishermen here in this town are the ones who got together. It's not the state, not for the state water fishery. It was us as fishermen who asked for the state water fishery. We got it. We got it in small increments, and we finally got it up to 25% of the catch. And now all of a sudden, when the rationalization is coming down from the feds, then all of a sudden the state decides to come up with a program something that's better for us than we could design for ourselves. But we are the ones who really, really asked for this fishery in the first place. And now you decide that you're going to introduce a bill that's going to decide for us what we can do. That just doesn't seem right. And I've been sick for the last 5 days, and I've just been informed of all this. I didn't even know this was coming down. So I will submit for testimony of this, and I'll submit it in writing. But I told you folks to the House, to the Senate bill, and it's a travesty if this goes through. This is not what we wanted. We wanted open access into the state fishery for the little guy, for the starter that started the fish like I did 33 years ago. We want people to be able to start from scratch. And if you lock this up, it is never going to happen. And we are totally opposed to this. This hall is full of 75 people here, armed against this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony, sir. Next on the list, we have Sean Docterman. Sean, are you there?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman. My name is Sean Docterman. I fished and lived in Kodiak for 28 years. I have a small vessel and depend on the jig ground fish fishery to stay economically solvent. At the present time, with open access, I can survive. If you rationalize the state waters, you will be making me and many others go bankrupt. I'm completely against the whole idea of Senate Bill 113. There are no guidelines for the Alaska Board of Fish or the Commercial Fishery Gender Commission. If this blank check was handed over to them, they will have the power to manipulate the state water fisheries as they please. When four votes are all it takes to change my life, I don't like it. In fact, I think the Board of Fish is a loaded deck that supports special interest groups and don't follow the true concerns of fishermen and his community. In the future, these leasable DAPs might end up in the hands of an elite few. I would like all the state water fisheries to be left open, as most participants are Alaskan. I feel that the fisheries will limit themselves, although I do realize that limited entry with a snapshot of today's picture is the safest bet otherwise. Take a look at the salmon tanner crab fisheries in the Kodiak area. Not all the limited entry permits are being utilized. If the legislature would do the math, they would figure out that to implement and run a plan for the DAP would cost more than the value of the fish at the dock. This kind of boondoggle will only put more stress on the small vessel owners of Alaska. Public hearing must be taken so that every individual in every coastal community can share their opinion on this. What about the impact on the coastal communities? If this bill passes, the economy of Kodiak and other communities will drop like a rock. Why is it that we as fishermen have the smallest voice in the creation of fisheries legislation? It seems no matter what we say, you never really listen and try to work with us. As far as I'm concerned, the state government is working against the little guy. Until you recognize that we would need to be a big part of this unnecessary rationalization, we will keep fighting for our rights for open access.
Thank you very much. Has your testimony been forwarded to us?
Yes.
I believe it has. Is that correct?
Yes,
it
has.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Docterman. Next, we have Robert Carter in Kodiak. Mr. Carter.
I've been 15 years since 1987.
If I can, Mr. Carter, if I can just ask you to introduce us with your name for the record, sir.
My name is Robert David Carter.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I am opposed to this bill. One, I believe it is against the Constitution. Fish are a public resource and should be kept as an open resource. If people can't make money fishing, then they get out of the business. Those who make money, they stay in. It's the American way. The resource has never been in danger, and the reason the seasons are so much shorter lately is because the last few years there's been a lot more fish around to catch. This goes into a limited entry or ISQ system. There's a lot of guys who are going to be out of business who have thousands of dollars invested. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your testimony. Do we have anyone else in Kodiak that is not on the list? That's the last person that I have on the list from Kodiak.
Is there anyone else there?
That's all that wants to testify, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. So let's move over to Homer next. We'll go to Homer, and I see the first person on the list there is Glenn Carroll. Mr. Carroll, are you online with us today?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me right?
We can hear you, sir, and if you'll put your name on the record for us, we're eager to hear your testimony this afternoon.
Thank you. My name is Glenn Carroll. I have a pump boat that fishes pot cod in the Cook Inlet area. And as the numbers that Sue Aspen gave in regard to Kodiak, the continual acceleration of the catch of fish that has happened at Kodiak, the same thing has happened at Cook Inlet. Every year our season is shortened by at least a week, and the race for fish goes on and on as this process continues to accelerate. The market consequences of that are huge. The same fish that is sold in Alaska for 30 cents sells in Boston from anywhere from $1 to $2.50 a pound. And because we race for fish, we handle our fish poorly, and we get paid for it. We're basically wasting the Alaskan resource. Our reputation for fish and for marketing those fish is a consequence of this race. I served on the Board of Fish Task Force. Many of the people in opposition to this make it sound like that this just barely happened. This whole process just came out of the blue. For a year and a half or more, the Board of Fish had stakeholders from all over the state discussing the least harmful process that the state of Board of Fish could come up with in this process. And there has been many, many meetings and hours of testimony from people from Sandpoint, Chignik, Kodiak, all over the state. So this is not something that has just jumped up by the Board of Fish. There has been a great attempt to try to come up with a process that would be the least harmful to the least amount of people. And I support this bill. I think it has to be recognized. We have to go down some process to stop the acceleration and the wastage of our fish. And this bill simply begins that process. And there will be a great deal of opportunity for these same people to have input into the way this bill takes shape. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We next would move to Mako Haggerty in Homer. Mr. Haggerty?
Good afternoon. My name is Mako Haggerty. I'm a former fisherman. Presently, I'm a taxi operator. Lived here in Alaska for 23 years, and I came up here to be a commercial fisherman. A door was slammed in my face, and that door had IFQ written on it. Prior to that, I was a commercial fisherman with a little bit of swagger. Right now, I'm a taxi driver with a lot less swagger, and I see another door closing in my son's face, and that door has DAP written on it. And I oppose this bill. It seems to me that the way we define fishermen now is somebody with a three-piece suit and a suitcase. And that's, I don't think that that's effective for the industry. And I don't think it's good for the community. And I'm actually here to testify for my kids. I'd like to see them become fishermen. And I oppose Senate Bill 113. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony today, sir. Next, we'll turn to Alan Parks. Mr. Parks.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the Resource Committee. Thanks for giving me the time and opportunity to testify. I oppose Senate Bill 113 for a lot of the reasons that folks in Kodiak that spoke opposing this bill. And I think one of the things that I heard a lot from over there that I would suggest maybe for this bill to go would be a lot of people want more hearings. They'd be able to have the opportunity to understand what the exact ramifications to their fisheries and communities are. And I would propose to send this bill back to the Board of Fish and let it go through the Board of Fish process and let it go to the different advisory panels that are spread out throughout the state, and let them work on a community level. Let that debate happen there. This bill is sweeping change to fisheries allocation. And I know I respect Mr. Carroll and his efforts in trying to figure out solutions to our fisheries, but I really don't think that the process for which got us here was as fluid as maybe he thinks it is. I don't think that folks that are relying on fisheries have had a clear understanding of what the committee or the Board of Fish has been up to. And a lot of the comments I hear from participants during that process was that it was just too complicated to talk about. So once again, I urge you to send it back to the Board of Fish, send it to the advisory panels. That process works good. I support that process, but let's send it back to them. Let them figure it out on a community level and work out all these differences, and don't waste the state legislature's time on it anymore. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir, for your testimony. Have next Bruce Hendrickson. Mr. Hendrickson, are you with us this afternoon? Mr. Hendrickson?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, and if you'll put yourself on the record, we're eager to hear your testimony this afternoon, too, sir.
Chairman and House Resource Committee, this is Bruce Hendrickson from Homer, and I'm here to support the Kodiak fishermen, speaking out for the small boat fishermen. And I have a fundamental ideological problem with Senate Bill 113, and that it tries to bring the state fisheries into line with a federal system that I disagree with. The reason I disagree with the federal system of management at the North Pacific Fishery Management Council is that they allocate resources to the vessel instead of to the individual. Our state allocates to the individual. This is an important distinction to me, because when you allocate a resource to a vessel, it represents capital. And that means that at the federal level, it gets down to where money is the only thing they listen to. And I think that when you talk about our communities and the people that live here, we need to listen to the people. What made America great and what makes Alaska great is that we listen to our people. And I want to keep that built into our Board of Fish process, which I like. And I would like to see more oversight over the federal North Pacific Fishery Management Council. If you're going to do a bill that tries to reconcile these two regulating institutions, I understand that Congress has to delegate responsibility to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, or the legislature has to allocate or delegate decision-making to the Board of Fish, that there should be like an ethics committee that looks after conflict of interest. Conflict of interest should be clearly defined. It should be defined in statute. And it should be, there should be a watchdog committee that looks at who has conflict of interest. Should they be allowed to vote? They could be allowed to question as they do on the Board of Fish, but should they be allowed to vote? And they should report their income and where it came from, as far as lobbying income and so on. But I mean, in Latin America, they might call it something like a bribe or something, but here we call it lobbying income, I guess. I don't know at the council level. But I've heard enough questions over the years about the North Pacific Fishery Management Council process that I don't feel that we should just open the door for those lobbyists to come into our state and lobby the small boat fishermen right off the water while we're trying to make a living out there. I just don't think we should open the door to that. And with Senate Bill 113, that's what I see the danger, is that we lose, that the small boat fishermen lose, the individual loses, and the big money comes in with their lobbyists. And I'm sure there are plenty in that room right now. And they walk away with the resource. So I would go along with the go-slow approach, get hearings, and let's invent a system of checks and balances that bring fairness into our fishery management and allocation process. I appreciate your listening today.
Thank you very much, sir, for your testimony today. Is there anyone else in Homer that wished to testify this afternoon? I've come to the end of my list, and unless there's someone else, we'll move on.
No, but we do have a question from
one of the participants.
Go ahead. We'll go ahead and ask. Let them ask the question at this point.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Alan Parks. I'm wondering if there are going to be more hearings at Senate Resources.
This bill will be carried over today, and I cannot speak for the chairman, but I imagine there will be. I can't give you a promise, but I would bet that if it was my money.
Thank you.
Then let's go next to Arnie Fugelvolve. And I really had trepidation trying to pronounce that last night. I got the first name right, I'm sure. But if you can correct me, sir, and put your name on the record, we're eager to hear your testimony today in Petersburg.
You bet. Thank you, Chairman Seekins, and actually you got it right.
Oh, great. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Arnie Fugelbach. I'm the president of Petersburg Bethel Owners, and I'm a member of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. I will be very brief. You've had a lot of good testimony from folks, and I was mainly here to listen and understand where people are coming from. I did fax up a copy of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council's motion that really supports this legislation and the Board of Fish process. So I faxed that up to you guys. Hopefully you will include it in the packet. It's very similar to what the Board of Fish has put forward, but it has the endorsement of the North Pacific Council. On a personal level, I'd just like to say that I support SB 113, Petersburg Bethel Owners, and we're a member of the Executive Committee of United Fishermen of Alaska who also supported it. And just to give you a little bit of background, although I do wear a three-piece suit and carry a briefcase at times, I still spend 4 months of the year fishing ground fish in the Gulf of Alaska. So there are still some fishermen who are involved in the federal process. Mr. Chairman, I'll be brief. I support the bill. I think you've seen the letter from the governor and the council, the Board of Fish, CFEC, United Fishermen of Alaska. What it does is just give the tools to the Board of Fish and the CFEC. The public process will continue. I think all the fishermen we heard from in Kodiak are going to have a lot of time to look at this program, to provide input to CFEC, the Board of Fish, and the council, to sit down with the managers and really help craft a program. The North Pacific Council is moving forward on rationalization. I anticipate, I'm optimistic, that we would have a program finalized by next winter. I would really hate to see the council take action and have a situation where, as some people have said, they would like to just see open access. If we retain open access in state waters and have a federally rationalized fishery, I truly believe that we'll have a disaster on our hands because we will have a complete mismatch of programs. One thing to keep in mind is that the fishermen who participate in the state water fishery are a lot of the same fishermen who participate in the federal fishery. And a program for those fishermen that does not work in both state and federal waters, I think, is going to be a real problem. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll just leave it at that. The North Pacific Council, I know, is tracking this legislation. We're going to be very involved in the process. I look forward to hearing from a lot of the same fishermen at our meetings, and I'm available for any questions you have right now.
Thank you much, very, very much, Arnie. Appreciate it. Next on the list is on the off-net will be Charlie Parsons. Charlie, are you still with us this afternoon?
Hi, my name's, for the record, my name's Charlie Parsons.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
I'm a lifelong Alaskan from Homer, Alaska. I'm the vice chairman of Western Gulf Alaska Fishermen's Association. I own and operate the 74-foot fishing vessel Night Watch. I've been involved in the groundfish fishery for over 20 years. All our members are fishing at this time and aren't here to testify. I want you to understand that most fishermen involved in the fishery are fishing and can't participate in this process and testify. We support Senate Bill 113. The sooner this bill can be prosecuted, the faster we can proceed to a rationalized fishery. Rationalizing the fishery will spread it out over time and space, will make a much safer fishery, make a much more profitable fishery for all the people involved. And as a small boat fisherman with a vessel over 58 foot, I see it as the only way that I will be able to survive and continue. Thanks.
Thank you very much for your testimony today, Mr. Parsons. We have now
completed the list that I have for people that are offline or in the various LIOs across the state. So we'll return to Juno and Mr. Milligan. You have allowed your comrades their opportunity, sir, so now it's your turn.
Thank you, sir.
If you'll put yourself on the record, we are eager to hear your testimony this afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Milligan. I'm here representing myself, and I appreciate, Mr. Chairman, that you allowed the off-sites to go first. I am a former borough assembly member. I was on the borough assembly when Ms. Suzanne Hancock was on the borough assembly, who was just sitting here, and when Senator Gary Stevens was on the borough assembly. And at that time, before Mr. Lonnie White got off the assembly, he also testified before you today, sir. We instructed our lobbyist, Brad Gilman, to go back to D.C. and lobby on Senator Stevens' father's bill in the Magnuson Act to try and garner a state water fishery that was allowed under the original Magnuson-Stevens Act. We started this prior to, we started this at the end of the Hickel administration and were successful, along with many other people across the state, in the beginning of the first Knowles administration. And it's been a fantastic fishery for us. Part of the reason you heard so much testimony today from Kodiak is that there's cod there. If there was cod in Southeast to the extent that there was in Kodiak, you would hear a lot more testimony. Because the way the island is, with the continental shelf is right offshore, and those cod come in. But I had a couple of problems with the bill, and I wanted to address those really quick. In Section 1, Number 7, we have this definition that speaks of, and it's on page 2, in the middle of the page, speaks of persons or vessel owners. And my problem with that is the people that have really been losers in the IFQ is a whole class of people that have not been mentioned, which I would call the skipper class. Most of these people that testified before you today started out on boats where they had mentors. Probably half or more of those mentors on those boats running those vessels, which would be in the night watch class on up, the 80-footers, the 100-footers that fished all over the state, probably 50% of those skippers running those boats did not own those boats. And those people were very left out in the IFQ process for halibut. They got nothing. And that presents the overall problem that I'm hearing from all these people testifying against the bill that really bothers me is that there's a direction in this country to respect money over labor. And when you hear these people continue to talk about dedicated access privilege, that's really what they're voicing. They're voicing an uncomfortable preponderance to value investment over the people that are actually out on the water. The other problem I have is in section 1643-530, and there's a lot of sections in that, and you'll see in section D.
Page and line number?
Page 5, line 28, Mr. Chairman. Eight, the process by which the commission will prevent the fishery from becoming too exclusive. And that's really what I want to see, is I want to see some definition on how people are going to get into this fishery. What isn't known about the 3-mile limit in the popular information is that under the Magnuson-Stevens, the state could have taken 12 miles. And if there's going to be a rational, deep discussion before this committee, I would like this committee to ask that question: why didn't the state go for 12 miles? Because as you know, Mr. Chairman, the fisheries of this state generate revenues to the general fund with the state fish tax. And most people across the state are of the opinion that the state could manage fisheries better than the feds can. And I'm certainly of that popular opinion, as I'm sure many of you are. But I would like to see that question asked. I would like to see these access issues dealt with. And I would hope, Mr. Chairman, that you, as a Fairbanks resident, and I apologize to the late Joe Vogler, would look at why we didn't go for 12 miles when we only went for 3. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Anyone else in the judo audience today that would like to testify on this bill? Seeing none, just a matter of clarification, Senator Stevens, on page 2, line 10, the word persons, under Alaska law, that's an all-inclusive term that would, would include people, corporations, partnerships, etc. Is that the intended definition of the word in this bill?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. And I might also add that Section 1 is uncodified law.
Right. I understand that. So, but in the definition of the term person under Alaska law, Mr. Milligan, is an all-inclusive term. It would include skippers because they're persons. It would include corporations because under Alaska law those are persons. So just for that clarification. And then if I understand also on page 5, that here it's talking about the commission giving the authority to adopt regulations. Those regulations would be subject to the public hearing process and to the comment process. So it would not be that this would be any kind of closed door process to establish regulations, because under state law it has to be a very open process and is subject to review now even by the legislature itself. Am I correct on that assumption, Senator Stevens?
I think you as the chairman of the Judiciary Committee know that pretty well, Mr.
Yes. But so this is nothing in here that could be that will ever be the door slammed shut without a whole lot of public process, in my opinion. Now, I could be wrong, but I bet I'm right. So other questions or discussion by members of the committee at this time?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Stevens.
Before we close off this session, I just want to express my appreciation for people that take time out to make public comment about this legislation. But I can't fail to state that, you know, it was this time last year, actually it was 3304, that we held the first hearing in this committee on Senate Bill 347. Mr. Chairman, that bill passed the Senate and was, as I mentioned earlier, was heard 9 times in public testimony between the Senate and the House last year. 9 times it was heard last year, and I don't think we ever had the type of testimony we had last year. And I think maybe, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to step a little bit further to say the reason why we didn't hear so much about it last year was because last year's bill, if you recall, for those that were on the committee, actually designated which fisheries would be included under the provisions that the council and the Board of Fish asked for, and which ones wouldn't. I have last year's bill in front of me, and for those people that don't know, it's Senate Bill 347, and on page 7 there's 20 fisheries, specific fisheries listed. The pelagic trawl and potfish fisheries. Kodiak, Prince William Sound, Cook Inlet, and Southwest Alaska Peninsula. Now, if you listen to the majority of the people that testified today, the majority of them are jig fishermen. And the jig fishermen opted out of it last year. And the way we structured the bill this year, we determined that the Board of Fish and the Commercial Fisheries Limited Entry Commission will be the ones to determine whether the jig fishery goes under a DAP or it doesn't, at the request of the participants. But what this does do is allows for the pelagic fishery and the pot fishery, at their request, to go to the to CFEC and the Board of Fish and say, we want to have a DAP. Help us design a DAP. If the jig fishermen say to the Board of Fish and to the CFEC, we don't want to have a DAP, well, the Board of Fish and the CFEC can say that and work with them and let them operate under the open access allocation that they have under the allocation that they have a fixed gear allocation. Jig fishery have a dedicated amount of fish that they can catch. They can't catch all the fish in state waters because under the total allowable catch under that gear type, they are limited. But the point I'm trying to make is last year we excluded that group at their request in the legislation. This year we have a different approach that says for those people that want to apply for a DAP, you can do it. If you don't want to do it, I don't think the Board of Fish or the Commercial Fisheries Limit Entry Commission is going to develop one and cram it down their throat. I think that's a misconception that this bill does. This bill does not cram down any DAP program down anybody's throat. It allows the board to develop a plan for those people that want a plan in their fishery. And if you heard the people that testified in favor of the fishery, in favor of the DAP, those people are out fishing now. They're racing for the fish because every year it closes in April, in April 15th, April 7th, March 29th, March 21st, and they don't want that. But that's why they're not here testifying. The other issue I wanted to clear up before we clean up is on page, if you look on the bill, and those people that do have the bill in Kodiak and anywhere else that's listening, Senate Bill 113 on page 5. It says regulations, and looking at line 5, regulations adopted by the commission to establish a dedicated access privilege program under this section must address, and you go down to a series of them. I want to highlight number 4, Mr. Chairman. Number 4 highlights whether the qualified pass landings are credited solely or partially to the interim permit holder, the entry permit holder, the vessel owner, or the commercial fishing license holder. Nobody is excluded in the consideration of this plan. Nobody is excluded in the consideration of this plan. That's why they've asked for it, and I said at the beginning of the statement, I hope the people understand that this is a process for people to go to the fish managers and request it, not to have it implemented and pushed on. Anyway, it's going to be an exciting time. I look forward to the next hearing when Chairman Wagoner gets back. I appreciate everybody coming. I've listened to their comments. I hope they listened to mine, and I look forward to the next hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Other questions or comments from other members of the committee at this time? Seeing none, I would like to take the opportunity and the time to compliment all the people who did testify today. It was extremely orderly. You all helped us by adhering to keeping your comments as succinct as possible and very clear. In fact, the fact of the matter is, in my time here, which isn't that much, this is probably the best testimony session that I've been involved in or presided over. So I give my compliments to everyone who participated today. With that, if there's nothing else to come before the committee today, this committee is adjourned.